A very pleasant Thursday evening to you, wherever you may be. Live from San Luis Obispo, I'm Owen Main, here filling in for Mike Abram and Mike Wozniak, who are out and about today. It's a pleasure having you with us on your drive home or wherever you are. And we're going to go and have a fun, pretty packed show today, actually. On the show today, we're going to have Lucas Clark, the Cal Poly writer from the Tribune. He's the beat writer for the San Luis Obispo Tribune. And, of course, Cal Poly basketball is going to be here on ESPN Radio 1280, starting with the pregame show at 6:40, the game's at 7 o'clock tonight. You can listen to all the action here on ESPN Radio 1280 with the play-by-play man, Tom Barquette. And that should be a good game. Cal Poly down at CSUN. Don't call them Cal State Northridge. They go by CSUN. A lot going on in the sports world. We'll get there in a second. First of all, how can you interact with the show? Well, you know, many of you may not know, but I answered phones for a long time in college at a sports radio station. I'm not taking phone calls, but you can interact with me. You can interact via Twitter. You can tag me at fansmanship. That's like sportsmanship, except for fans. So fansmanship, at fansmanship on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram as well. We're there. And I would definitely encourage you to interact during the show. Heck, I might even answer a question or two if my phone keeps buzzing here. We have a lot going on in the sports world. Kobe's an all-star. This just in. Does Kobe Bryant deserve to be an all-star? We'll talk a little bit about that in his final season. It's been 10 years since his 81-point game. What's he meant to the NBA? And is he deserving of being in that all-star game in a couple of weeks here? We'll talk a little bit about Aroldis Chapman, part of the best bullpen in the majors for sure, won't face charges from the authorities down in Florida. The assistant state attorney says no charges for Chapman, and so we'll talk a little bit about that. Andre Drummond on the Pistons. Can you make a free throw? The other night, the Rockets fouled Andre Drummond. He missed 23 free throws. He was 13 for 36 from the line. And we'll talk a little bit about whether that's a legitimate thing, how the NBA should respond, if they should respond at all. Are we getting our sports news from Tinder now? Is that what's happening? There were some leaked reports. There were some reports today that Yoenis Cespedes might be going to the Nationals, and I think it was just a typo. But there was some confusion as to whether or not that information came from Tinder and not Twitter. And if you're not sure what those two things are, they're definitely different things. So we'll talk a little bit about that as well. But the thing I want to talk about today in the first segment here, and as we move forward, we'll be joined by regular on this show, Mike Abram, in the second segment here to talk a little sports with Mike. That guy's always out and about. He seems like he's everywhere. But we'll bring him in. In the second segment, I want to talk a little bit about Antoine Randle L. Randle L, of course, is a 9-year veteran of the NFL. I think he played his last year in 2010. He had a 9-year career with Pittsburgh and Washington. He was kind of the second coming of Slash, right? Caught, I think 15 regular season touchdowns in those 9 seasons. So, you know, he wasn't like a number one receiver ever, but he was definitely a guy who could block. He was a guy who could run an end around or a quarterback pass or a fake. He could return punts. He was definitely known as a tough guy along with Hines Ward when he was on the Pittsburgh Steelers. And he's starting to talk about and being a little bit outspoken about his physical issues being a former NFL player. And of course, this is a hot topic. There have been 49ers who have retired. There are lots of players around the NFL who've retired at pretty young ages. And so this topic is going to come up more and more. Antoine Randle L has been pretty outspoken about his physical issues. He's talking about when he's walking upstairs, his body hurts every single time. And more recently, he's talked about memory issues, asking his wife multiple times, multiple questions. And it's something that, for me, struck home. And when I was in high school, I had a concussion I won't go into too much detail, but I played in a high school basketball game. I took a charge in the middle of the lane, and it wasn't just any charge. It was a 6'9" guy at full steam going for a dunk, and they tell me that they called a charge. I don't remember it. Apparently, his leg went into my chest, his knee, drove me to the ground, back of the head hit the floor. It's one of those things that I can't even imagine what a parent would go through watching. I guess I stood up and collapsed, and it was actually, it was a legitimate concussion, was out for a couple of weeks in terms of basketball. But I was out for a lot longer than that in terms of having my mind right. And that's something that, as Antoine Randall-El talks about, asking somebody questions over and over again. At the age of 16, I can remember right after that happened, my first memory post the play is me sitting on the bench asking my teammate, what happened? And he said, Owen, you took a charge. You're out of the game. You took a charge. You passed out. You're out of the game. Okay. And then I remember looking at him square in the eye again and saying, Ryan, what happened? And he told me the same thing again. And I said, I just asked you that, right? He said, yep, you sure did. And so, you know, even at young ages, we have sports, and it's not just football, guys and girls out there. You know, it's soccer, it's basketball, it's any contact sport or any sport where you're moving at a fast rate. It's cheerleading even, where, you know, you can have a head injury. And at that time, obviously, me collapsing on the floor made everybody know not to put me back in the game. But I sat on the bench there for a while before I got rushed to the hospital after continuing to have, you know, memory lapses and short-term things. Woke up in bed the next morning with a hospital bracelet, not knowing what had happened. You know, the idea and the thought that I wanted to convey is that when you get a concussion like that, you're not just hurt for a week. You're not just hurt for the 2 weeks that that they might keep you out. I wasn't right in terms of my schoolwork. I wasn't right in terms of a lot of different things for, I'd say, the better part of a year. And I don't think I felt completely, you know, back to normal. And some people would say I've never been back to normal, or maybe that I never was. But I've never been completely back to normal, or I wasn't completely back to normal until probably, I don't know, maybe 2 years, 2.5 years afterwards, where I felt like I could type a paper as quickly as I could before. You know, when you're doing academic work all the time, and, you know, whether it was in high school or college, you know, a concussion can have really wide ranging effects. And so when Antoine Randall-El says things like, and I quote, you got to be able to pull yourself out of the game, right? If you're a high school or college athlete, or if you're a young youth athlete listening to the show today, you got to be able to pull yourself out of the game. If you hit your head and you feel weird, you got to be able to pull yourself out of the game, right? If you hit your head and you feel weird a little bit later, you got to be able to pull yourself out of the game. My concussion happened when I was a junior in high school, and I probably had another one senior year playing football. And I pulled myself out of the game. It was in the second quarter. I pulled myself out for about a half a quarter. Felt pretty good after halftime, so I went back in. Nowadays, they would never allow that to happen, I don't think. But, you know, back in the 90s, it seems like not that long ago, and maybe I'm feeling a little bit older than I should talking about it, you know, 15, 20 years later. But nowadays, you know, if you take yourself out of the game for a concussion, you're in for it. You're going to be hurting. And so certainly kids out there, everybody listening, you know, if you feel like you have a concussion, if you feel like a little bit different, if you got a dinger, or a zinger, whatever you want to call it, okay, if your head hurts, if you hit your head, take yourself out of the game, get checked out. It's not worth it, okay? It's not worth it. It was 2.5 years before I felt all the way right. And Antoine Randall-El says he would have done it differently. I would have did it differently, he says. And that's from an NFL player who was a tough guy. I mean, he played right next to Hines Ward, played on teams with Troy Polamalu. I mean, you're talking about guys who put their bodies on the line at the highest level of the NFL. You don't have to be an NFL player to get a concussion, though. And it's something that as I was going through the sports news of the day today, I really felt a little bit strongly about, and I thought I needed to get the word out as best I could here. If you hit your head, get it checked out, okay, guys and girls out there. Aroldis Chapman was a guy who the Dodgers, you know, switching gears here, Aroldis Chapman is a relief pitcher, was on the Reds last year, throws about a million miles an hour, left-handed guy, Cuban player. He was under the microscope. The Dodgers actually thought they had a trade in store for him this year, bringing him to the Dodgers, and there was thoughts of a bullpen with him and Kenley Jansen. Instead, the Yankees strengthened their already great bullpen. You know, of course, they have Andrew Miller and Dylan Betances, and they throw in the best reliever in baseball in Aroldis Chapman, and certainly they have the best bullpen in baseball, at least the top three in their bullpen. It was announced today by the Broward County Assistant State Attorney that no charges would be filed. The Yankees pen is like I said, it's going to be incredible this year. And that said, if you're a Dodger fan, maybe you're okay with Chapman not coming over. Maybe he is a little bit of a loose cannon. He shot a gun into a wall through a garage that apparently I feel like I read he was locked in maybe. Commissioner of Baseball Rob Manfred is waiting for more information to make a decision on it still. I don't know how much more information he's going to get, but he has a little bit of leeway, I think, to make some decisions about potential disciplinary measures, suspensions, etc. And I guess it's still possible that Chapman would get suspended, although I think that when you don't get even charges filed against you, I think that probably it's likely that any kind of disciplinary measure would be a little bit less than that. So it'll be interesting to see what Manfred does. Certainly, he doesn't have a huge track record of dealing with these things. He's a relatively new commissioner, as commissioners in sports go. And so we'll see what he does with Aroldis Chapman, but Chapman is not going to have charges filed against him. Moving to stuff on the court here, and a sport that's actually happening right now. Andre Drummond is a player. He plays for the Pistons. And Andre Drummond is not a good free throw shooter. If you're a Clipper fan and you know how bad of a free throw shooter DeAndre Jordan is, Andre Drummond is probably about that bad, if not worse. And the Rockets are kind of a money ball basketball team. If you didn't have a good picture for it, their GM, Daryl Morey, probably likens himself to the basketball version of Billy Beane, uses a ton of advanced statistics. And he talked to his coach, J.B. Bickerstaff, his interim head coach, who he probably has a ton of control over, unlike former ousted head coach Kevin McHale. And they fouled Andre Drummond. The Rockets fouled the Pistons' Andre Drummond 21 times during the game. The other night, and he missed 23 free throws. He was 13 of 36. Now, the Pistons, I believe, still won the game, but some of the Rockets players weren't real big fans of this strategy. Trevor Ariza, former Laker, didn't like it. A lot of the Rockets players were reportedly talking to the Pistons bench about how they didn't like it, and Rockets star James Harden doesn't like how it affects the flow. And we see this happening in some college basketball games this year, even some Cal Poly games, where we have the flow really interrupted by a lot of foul calls. Not on purpose, of course, but we see a lot of hand check calls now outside on the perimeter. That's something that's been amped up in the college game. And so when we see these foul calls, we definitely have a lack of flow in a game. And when you're a fan, or if you're a player, if you're a good player, you want the game to flow, because the more the game flows, the more good players are able to step up and do what good players do, or great players are able to step up and do what great players do. And the less flow, the less fun it is to watch, for sure. I'd much rather watch an offensive possession than a couple of free throws. So something to think about as we continue to watch the NBA this year. Boy, this league is changing. I talked about Kobe Bryant being an all-star in the West, but look at the guys who are on the all-star team with him, at least the starters. Kobe Bryant, Kevin Durant, Kawhi Leonard, Steph Curry, and Russell Westbrook. Where's the forward? Where's the four or five man? Because I don't see one on that Western Conference team. Let's look at the East. LeBron James, Paul George, Carmelo Anthony, Dwayne Wade, Kyle Lowry. I see some three men on there. I see some small forwards, but I don't really see any power forwards or centers. And it's the way that the NBA is changing, right? No centers, not even really post players. And we see a lot of young players now who are wanting to face the basket, and that's really the direction that basketball is going. When we come back, we're going to have Mike Abram from the Sports Bite on the Sports Bite. It's ESPN Radio 1280, The Ticket.
We're back to the Sports Bite on ESPN Radio 1280, The Ticket.
Coming to you live from San Luis Obispo, it's the Sports Bite, rolling on a Thursday. Alongside Mike Abram, I'm Owen Main. As a reminder, if you want to interact with the show today, you're more than welcome to do so. I'm not taking phone calls, but you can tweet me at Fansmanship on Twitter. You can find me at Fansmanship.com on Facebook and Instagram. If you want to see some pictures of what it's like to be courtside at a lot of games, you know, I take a lot of pictures at games, whether it's Cal Poly games, whether it's taking photos at local preps games. Heck, sometimes people even hire me out to take photos at their local youth sports games, whether you have a kid playing soccer or something like that. Hit me up. I'm definitely up for it, and I live in San Luis Obispo, so I can be anywhere pretty quickly around the county and around the general area. Joining me now on the hotline here, I have from the Sports Bite, Mike Abram. Mike, are you there? Mr. Abram, are you there? All right. Maybe I don't have Mike joining me. We're going to continue to talk about a couple of things here. You know, there were some games the other night that got rained out with the rain, some local high school stuff with the rain that happened a couple of weeks ago. And the rain came and games got canceled. And I'm hoping tomorrow night's games don't get canceled. There are a couple really good soccer, boys and girls soccer games that are scheduled for San Luis Obispo anyway. It's the Slowtown Showdown that's happening, if you didn't know. The Slowtown Showdown is, of course, Mission Prep and San Luis Obispo. It's also, you know, when two high school teams play one another, there are games not just in boys and girls basketball, but right now there are also boys and girls soccer games that happen too. And so, well, the varsity basketball teams play at one location, the varsity soccer teams play at another. And so that should be a fun time. If you want to catch all of them, you could probably catch pieces of most of the games tomorrow. I'm going to try to be at the boys varsity soccer game, which happens earlier, the girls varsity soccer game, which happens a little bit later, and try to be out there and check out both of those before I get over to Mission Prep. And we know that Mission this year is good like they usually are, like they have been for the last decade and a half here. And we know that San Luis Obispo is actually much improved from the previous few seasons. And so I'm really looking forward to getting out there to both San Luis Obispo High School this weekend and also over to Mission Prep. Terrence Harris is getting pretty close to his Mike Abram's not quite there yet. We're still working on it. We're still working on it. I'm a rookie with some of this equipment, so I got somebody in here helping me, and we're gonna get it soon enough. But Terrence Harris, I was saying, Mission Prep head coach. Terrence and I are actually the same age, and played against each other in high school and in many sports. He was a lot better center fielder than he ever got credit for, Terrence Harris, in case you didn't know. He could track the ball down out there. One of the fastest guys I ever saw in high school. But Terrence is going, I believe, for win number 200 pretty soon here. So I don't know if it's this game or if it's going to be in a couple games. Who knows? But it's happening pretty soon. I don't know exactly where the number's at, but rumor has it that he's going for number 200 pretty soon. I talked about how Kobe Bryant is an all-star this year. Can you believe it? Kobe Bryant in his final season probably doesn't necessarily deserve it with his play on the court, but Kobe does a pretty darn good job in terms of his overall career and probably deserves a lot of accolades when it comes to the end of her career. If you have a problem with it, you know, here's the thing. Magic Johnson played in an all-star game when he wasn't even playing that year, and he got voted in. Kobe Bryant got the most votes this year. I think it's the fans are saying they want to see Kobe one more time, and I think it'll be a fun all-star game. Literally no centers in this game. Zero centers, really zero power forwards, unless you count like Carmelo Anthony or LeBron James or Kevin Durant as a power forward. Kawhi Leonard, no power forwards in this game. Where have the big men gone? Where have the skilled big men gone? I don't know. It's a guard-dominated league, and it's a guard-dominated sport right now in general in basketball. Even you see high school teams. You never see a high school team with a player who posts up around here anymore. You never see any of that. And we're going to try Mike Abram one more time. Mike, are you there?
I am here. The wonders of technology. I'm across the country, but I am with you and happy to be with you, Owen, on the Sports Bite. How you doing tonight?
I am fantastic, Mike. And I wanted to get your take. First, where in the heck are you? Are you in? I know you're somewhere where golf is played. I know you were in Arizona on Tuesday or San Diego on Tuesday.
In San Diego on Tuesday at a golf course, but shooting some stuff for my future infomercial with Joe Theismann on posture.
Right, okay.
Today, I just arrived and just got to the resort. It's called Stream Song. One word, Stream Song Resort. Uh-huh. It's in literally the middle of nowhere in Florida.
What county?
Between Orlando. I'm between Orlando and Tampa.
Yeah.
And it is absolutely, it's pitch black outside, so I don't know what it looks like, but the pictures, if you Google Stream Song, you'll get blown away. It's the site of an old phosphate mine.
Oh.
It just opened less than 2 years ago. And already the two courses here are in the top 50 in the world.
Nice. I lived north of Tampa for a little bit in mm-hmm. Florida for a couple of years, and some of the golf courses out there are amazing. That I-4 corridor doesn't disappoint when it comes to golf courses. I want to get your take quickly on Kobe Bryant. He's named an all-star today. Certainly his play on the court almost definitely has not warranted this season.
No.
But when you talk about kind of a lifetime achievement award, this all-star selection this year from the fans, and really isn't the all-star game just all about the fans?
It really is all about the fans. It is a popularity contest. That's why it's in the fans' hands. And what a fitting tribute to Kobe Bryant. Look at what he's doing. And as bad as the Lakers are this year, he really is worth every penny that they're paying him, because he is filling those seats at Staples Center and throughout the league every night. They are going to see Kobe. I'm going to go down and see Kobe with my oldest son, Curtis, on against the Warriors. I believe that's Sunday, March 6th. And I'm looking forward to it. One last hurrah to watch Kobe play. And what's beautiful, I think, the first 2-3 weeks of the season, he really looked old and tired. And I'm not saying he shouldn't retire now, but at least he's showing flashes of Kobe. You know, there's little moments of Kobe that you can see. And I think it was a very humble and smart move on his part to remove himself from the running for the Olympics. He doesn't have it anymore. He's picking the right time to go out. He's having the injury bug. I'm hoping he can stay relatively healthy throughout the rest of the year. And having a farewell tour for one of the greatest Lakers. And, of course, and boy, I say greatest Lakers. And I grew up in Manhattan Beach, which was only 15 minutes from the fabulous Forum. And I grew up listening to Chick Hearn, watching Wilt the Stilt, Jerry West, Gail Goodrich, all the great players, Elgin Baylor. And then, you know, of course, then Kareem Abdul-Jabbar and Norm Nixon, and then Magic Johnson, my goodness
Jamal
gracious.
Jamal Wilkes,
Jamal Wilkes, Silk, and then going into Shaq and Kobe and some of the Pau Gasol and some of the great things. So I've always been a big Laker guy, and it's a fitting tribute. I think it's definitely well-deserving. You're right. It's a lifetime achievement award, and good for him.
Yeah, absolutely. Here with Mike Abram on the Sports Bite. I'm Owen Main, and we're talking a little Kobe Bryant. You know, I haven't really talked to the head coaches for these All-Star games quite yet in terms of getting their thoughts about it, but I would think that Kobe probably plays, you know, the first few minutes of, if not, you know, a lot of the first quarter of. See if you can get him going a little bit. Because if he gets going scoring-wise, he's going to want to stay in. But, you know,
maybe
that might be a fun thing for fans too. But, you know, say he doesn't, I don't think you're going to see a lot of him in the second quarter. I also think, you know, maybe he starts the third quarter, see if he can get going again. And maybe if he doesn't, maybe, you know, you take him out, maybe you put him in for the fourth quarter for a little bit. Give him the ovation he deserves and send him off the right way. You know, I think best case scenario is something like what happened with Magic, where he hit that fadeaway at the end of the game to win it in the All-Star game in his final one.
Phenomenal experience by Magic. It is. It's an exhibition. It's a show. No one should get, if people are getting upset, it's like, get over it. Come on. It's an exhibition. It's a show. It's a popularity contest. He got the votes. He deserves to be in. The NBA gives him the votes. If it was a real who's the best player, that'd be different. But this is fun. This is something to watch. Yeah. The Ole defense will be very much in order, which means no defense.
Well, especially with no big man, right? I mean, you get by your first guy and nobody's going into challenge.
Mm-mm.
Yeah.
Not at all.
Hey, Mike.
Yeah, so it'll be fun.
Yeah, hey, I wanted to ask you, I said one last question before, but I'm going to ask you another one last question here.
Sure.
Talking about, and I know you've been around high school sports a lot. You've done play-by-play for San Luis High football, and I talked a little bit about concussions in the opening sequence. Antoine Randall recently had some comments about how, you know, he's not remembering things like he feels like he should be. He hurts all the time, and he played less than 10 years in the NFL, and wasn't that highly used of a guy. I mean, he was on the field a lot, I guess, but it's not like he took a ton of brutal hits over the middle or something. He was always kind of a tough guy, along with Hines Ward, guys who are versatile, who played some quarterback in college. et cetera. But, you know, he was quoted as saying, yeah, I would have done some things differently. You know, I watched a video with him today, and I just kind of wanted to get your thoughts as you watch these high school games and as you've watched high school sports evolve. You know, you've had kids in high school, you know,
yes.
Over the past.
Two boys play at San Luis High.
Exactly.
And it's very frightening that how much we're learning about what football does to the brain. And I think I was very fortunate that I wasn't able to play in college. I tried to play in college and had a couple of knee surgeries and never got to see the field in college. And maybe that was a blessing. Everybody's different. You know, as we talk about, everybody has different gifts, different skills. And I think some people just don't have their brain can handle that brutal collision better than someone else. Antoine Randle L, obviously, his brain isn't able to handle it as well. And I feel for him, and I do feel for the proper warnings, and these concussion protocols are very new to everything. I think my son Troy, who graduated from Slo High in 2010, they started doing concussion testing. I don't know if it was his junior or senior year. But it's very much new. It's very much not understood. The movie Concussion with Will Smith brings that out, one person's opinion, but it does bring to light a lot of things, a lot of dangers that, you know, that doctor saying 18 years old should be the first time that anyone plays football. I know I have my family, my father played at USC, was a two-way starter lineman, offensive defensive line in the mid-50s. My brother played linebacker at University of Georgia with Herschel Walker. And so I was around it. I played through high school. I know, and they were both very fortunate. They don't have any concussion issues. I remember I was knocked out once in high school, and it wasn't in football. It was in a bad taking batting practice against a guy named Bill Boardley, who pitched for the Giants. He was on our high school team, and it bounced off the back of the screen behind us and hit me in the head and helmet and knocked me out. But I didn't ever get knocked out. I never got knocked out in football.
Right.
But you know, seeing what that was, and back in those days, back in the 70s, for example, and as recently probably as the 90s and early 2000s, you were encouraged, you know, you were just dinged, or you just got your bell rung, and you're encouraged to go back out there and play.
Yeah.
And now we know that's not good. That's dangerous, and that's detrimental to your health for the future. And so it's a very different thing here. I would definitely think more than twice today for my sons, for example, or myself, you know, of playing football now.
Yeah.
It really is something. I love the game.
Yeah.
I love everything about it, but it's very scary. And I hope and pray that the technology advances enough that the headgear can be more and more protective.
Yeah.
Or the game, or the rules change to be more and more protective, like they're trying to do.
That's right. And, you know, I told the story in the first segment. You know, I've had a concussion, but it was in basketball. I got knocked out and was out for just a couple of weeks. I mean, I think nowadays I'd probably go through the concussion protocol and maybe miss the rest of the season the way I felt the rest of the year. I definitely got dinged a couple times. Like you said, get your bell rung. There was a time in the middle of a game where I couldn't somebody would call a play and I couldn't picture what the play was. It was just that bad. And so, you know, I was like mid second quarter. I went out till after halftime and came back in, you know, because it was no big deal in the late 90s. Even in a decade and a half, things have changed so much. Hey, Mike, I got Lucas Clark chomping at the bit in here in the studio. He's going to talk to us about some Cal Poly basketball coming
Fantastic.
Up tonight.
I want to throw in two more quick things for all
sir,
the Sports Byte listeners. While I'm out here in Florida playing a little golf and going to the PGA show, watch, it's on right now on Golf Channel after the Sports Byte with Owen. The live from Abu Dhabi is the golf with Jordan Spieth, Rory McIlroy, and the young amateur Bryson DeChambeau, who played in the straight down this last fall. I got to meet. He's leading at 8 under. He shot a 64. Bryson DeChambeau, phenomenal golf. And one more thing, we've got our first major of the year in tennis. The Australian Open will be on live tonight. I believe that starts at 8 o'clock on the Deuce.
Absolutely.
ESPN2.
Yeah.
And I'll be listening to the Sports Byte, and I'll be back in studio later next week.
Yep.
And Owen, thanks for sitting in.
Yeah, it's my pleasure. I'll keep the seat warm for you. You know, it's amazing.
Appreciate it.
If you're looking for something to do in the 40 minutes between the end of the Sports Byte and the beginning of the Cal Poly game at 6:40, the pregame show with Tom Barquette.
Yes, with
now,
Tom Barquette.
Now you have something to do. You turn on the golf channel.
You have something to do.
You set your
Flip
alarm
it on while you're
6:40.
Listening to Tom.
That's right. You got it. All right, Mr. Abram.
Golf on. You don't need the. Have a great night, everybody.
Thank you,
we'll
sir.
We'll talk to you real soon.
All right. Take care, Mike. That's Mike Abram, the host, regular host of the Sports Bite. I'm filling in for him and Mike Wozniak. I think everybody's name around here is just Mike. I think if you walk in to the studio here and just say, hey, Mike, there's maybe one guy who wouldn't turn his head. But we're here. Lucas Clark is in studio, like I said, from the San Luis Obispo Tribune, the Cal Poly beat writer. And I'll ask him a little bit about the upcoming weekend for the Cal Poly Mustangs men's and women's basketball team and a couple other things coming up here. Lucas also has a little bit of experience covering the new 49ers head coach, Chip Kelly. He's an Oregon guy. Lucas is an Oregon grad. And so we'll get his take on Chip Kelly as the Niners' new head coach. It's Owen Main here on the Sports Bite on ESPN Radio, 1280, The Ticket.
We're back to the Sports Bite on ESPN Radio 1280, The Ticket.
Roll right along on Thursday evening. Supposed to rain tomorrow, I think. It's the Sports Bite. ESPN Radio 1280. I'm Owen Main, sitting in for Mike and Mike. And if you want to follow me on Twitter, you can at Fansmanship. You can also find me on Instagram at Fansmanship. And also, if you want, even follow fansmanship.com on Facebook. Good times. I have in the studio with me now. Actually, I wanted to just say, tonight, Clippers versus Cavs. How are the Cavs going to bounce back?
Oh, boy.
I have Lucas Clark in the studio with me to talk some Cal Poly, but I know he likes some hoops, too.
Yeah. Is it in L.A.?
I feel like it's in Cleveland, but I might be wrong.
I think it is in Cleveland, actually, okay. Yeah. I feel like they have to bounce back. I mean, that was a pretty embarrassing showing in Golden State there, or against Golden State a couple nights ago, and you know LeBron's not going to take two L's like that on the chin, so we'll see.
Yeah, yeah, it'll be rough for him. I have from the Tribune, Lucas Clark is in studio. Lucas is the Cal Poly beat writer. Right. You can find him on Twitter, where, at Lucas Clark, or is that underscore?
Yeah, it's Lucas underscore Clark slow. Or is it Lucas Clark underscore slow? That's it. Okay. It's been a little while since I've actually said that.
He's a young dude with a beard, I think, if you look for the picture of him.
Right.
he had a much more burly beard a number of weeks ago. It's kind of mellowed out as the season's gone on here. But we have a good Cal Poly weekend here ahead of us. It was a great Cal Poly weekend last weekend when it came to the games.
Definitely.
And this being your first year covering Cal Poly basketball, right?
Yeah.
So tell me what your impressions have been of this team and what did you see last weekend?
Definitely. You know, being at Oregon for the last handful of years, I would see during the non-conference season the Irvines and the Long Beaches come up and play them during the non-conference schedule. And so I had some, you know, inkling of what the Big West was kind of all about. And now that I've gotten to see Cal Poly sort of on a daily and a weekly basis, I think you mentioned before during the football season that Big West basketball is pretty exciting, and last weekend really definitely illustrated that. I mean, a great game against Santa Barbara on Thursday where Cal Poly, as Joe Calero told us, came out pretty flat and dug themselves into a 15-point hole and eventually came all the way back to take a late lead with about 90 seconds left and ended up losing that game, but responded against Long Beach State two nights later with a double overtime victory. I think the first multiple overtime victory at Mott Athletic Center since like 1972, which was
early 70s. Yeah.
All right. And back to back sellouts, too, which I think you being around the area, I mean, it was, I think, the first time in Calero's tenure that they've had consecutive sellouts. So yeah. I don't know if that speaks to the overall fan interest or if this year's product is maybe a little bit superior to ones in the past.
It's both. Yeah. I think it's both. When you think about it, I mean, I was at the last non Calero game in the previous administration, if you will.
Yeah.
And there weren't a ton of fans there. The players just kind of untucked their shirts and walked off the court. They lost the game, and it was just kind of like, oh, man, is this really where this is going? And you could kind of feel the deflation of the fans who were there. The first couple games I went to in the Calero era, the players after the games are going and high-fiving the crowd after the games, you know, really trying to interact, thanking the band. Mm-hmm. I mean, when you think about Mott and how small it is and then how big and robust the Cal Poly band is, I mean, that's half of the atmosphere right there. You pack another 3,000 people in there on top of it. I mean, it was electric in there for both games during the comebacks.
Right.
And I think the challenge for Cal Poly this year, excuse me, will be to try to ride the wave a little bit and this week to try to kind of see how they can do in atmospheres that might not be as much of a fevered pitch.
Right.
Of course, CSUN isn't going to any postseason this year.
Their team's a little bit down. The Matadome isn't, you know, it's probably smaller than Mott.
It is 1,600 seats.
When it comes down to it, yeah. And then you go to Fullerton, which is also not a big gym and Titan Gym. Not a lot of, you know, fan interest. Not as much as here for sure. You know, definitely not a sold out crowd. So, you know, how's this team going to bounce back? And I think that's something that Joe's been focused on, right?
Yeah, that was something he mentioned Saturday night. How are they going to react to maybe a gym that's not quite as electric? Because, I mean, during the conference opener, they're at Hawaii in front of 5,800 plus, almost 6,000 fans. And then two great nights with the home crowd behind you. And now you go into the Matadome, like you said, that even if it sells out, is only 1,600 people and is not a...
half of what Mott holds.
Right. And even when Mott is full, I mean, it was electric the last few weeks, but still it doesn't necessarily feel like there's a ton of thousand-some people there. So it'll be interesting how they react, and it's going to be up to the players to sort of bring that self-inspired energy, and it'll be interesting against that CSUN team.
Yeah, not having seen this team before, one question that I have for you about basketball in general is, do you need, like, a guy to be the dude who does everything and who's also like the off the court leader or whatever? I saw Long Beach State, Justin Bibbins, who's a sophomore this year, was speaking strongly to Faust, to Nick Faust on Long Beach, who's a senior transfer who played at Maryland.
Right.
And Bibbins is telling him, giving him a what for in the middle of the game, which I was really impressed by. And Bibbins took that game over towards the end of the game, you know, beginning of the first half and then in overtime too.
Right.
I mean, he was what they had after Faust and Hammonds fouled out. My question, I guess, is do you need to have a guy like that who's a vocal leader, or can it be just like 10 deep, a team that's 10 deep and kind of everybody just does their thing along the way?
Right. That's a good question. And I think, you know, coming into the season, I would have probably gone with the former. You know, you need to have that sort of veteran presence. And I've asked Joe a few times is there an outspoken leader on this team? And you look to guys like, you know, Joel Alwich or David Nwaba, guys who have been in the program for 5 years and are talented and you would think would be sort of that vocal presence, but then neither of them, that's just not within their personality, really. They sort of, as Joe says, take care of their own house and make sure they're handling their business. And one guy Joe did mention was, I think, Reese Morgan, who's a senior who certainly has that bravado and that confidence about him, and I think is willing to try and, you know, regroup guys, especially when they were on that long road trip, 6 games, and where things really did not go particularly well. I think he made a point to be that vocal presence and sort of bring these guys back together. excuse me. But to get to the original question, I think this team certainly is more of a 10 deep, and it's going to be a different guy every single night, as we've seen.
Yeah.
And, the emergence of Brian Bennett, how about him on Saturday? I mean, 21-12, and he looks physically skinnier, I think.
Oh, yeah.
Looks like, I'm guessing maybe how he looked last year as a 28-game starter and a second-team all-conference guy.
Yeah, and having him down low, you know, I talked about the rarity of post presence in the NBA, you know, and you see that in college as well, but Brian's still a guy that can drop step on you and that makes it really hard if you're not, you know, 7 feet tall. And we know a couple teams in this conference have guys that are 7 feet tall that are going to make it hard for Brian, whether he's in shape or not. You know, when you talk about Mamadou and when you talk about the couple guys on Hawaii and a couple guys on Irvine, really, too, Best, et cetera. But it's going to be really interesting to see how this team responds. Cal Poly has 4 games now against teams that in their minds and in the mind of any team that wants to be in the top tier of the Big West this year are all kind of games that are winnable. And you got to get it. They have 3 on the road, 1 at home.
Mm-hmm.
They're at home or they're on the road at CSUN and Fullerton this weekend. Both of those games are here on ESPN Radio 1280, also on ESPN3 if you want to catch them on your tablet or whatever. I usually listen to Tom Barquette and make my tablet match up with what Tom's saying. And then they have a home game next Thursday, and then they're at Davis. I'm not sure who they play next Thursday, but
Riverside,
right? And then they're at Davis. So those are 4 teams that Cal Poly really has a good chance to get a W against, especially after coming off a Long Beach State win.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're going to be on the top half of the conference, winning some of these games becomes a really important thing.
Right. I mean, yeah, you said it. That's 4 straight games. I mean, none of those 4 teams have a winning record even, and then you don't face a winning program until Irvine on February 3rd. So this, like you said, is a key stretch of games that they need to win.
All right, we're going to come right back. Lucas Clark from the Tribune here on The Ticket.
We're back with the Sports Bite on ESPN Radio 1280, The Ticket.
A fast final segment on this Thursday evening here with Lucas Clark from the Tribune. I'm Owen Main, hosting the Sports Bite, going towards Cal Poly basketball at 6:40 for the pregame show. And Lucas, I know that you covered Chip Kelly while you were at Oregon, and Chip Kelly's now the Niners coach, and I know there are a lot of Niner fans here who would like to hear maybe your take on how you think Chip maybe did in Philadelphia. What are your thoughts on him being the new Niners coach?
Yeah, I mean, and to try and keep it brief, you know, I was in school and working for the student paper covering Chip for the 4 years he was at the U of O, and saw what he was like on a daily basis, how he works with people in the building, with his team, and with the media, obviously, which he has a relatively rocky relationship with, and I think that much was apparent in Philadelphia. And I don't claim to be, you know, an NFL expert, but I really thought he was going to have a great year in Philadelphia. I mean, coming off 2 10-win seasons and making the personnel decisions that he did, I think there was probably a big lesson to be learned there. And I know I'm not really saying any new information, but I think having a fresh start and being back on the West Coast and in a new place will be really good for him. And if you look at just the numbers offensively, I mean, Philadelphia, I think they ended up being 12th in points this year after being in the top 10 the first 2 years. And if you look where 49ers were last year, I mean, they were dead last this year offensively. 25th the year before and 11th in 2013. So I think having just a new approach offensively is going to breathe hopefully some life into the fan base. And I won't get into the front office because I don't know anything about Trent Baalke here at Jed York. I know they have pretty poor reputations, but I mean, Owen, you would probably know a little bit more about
that. No, I mean, I don't have a great picture just from what I read. If you read Tim Kawakami, right, you're probably...
which I do, and that has totally shaped my opinion the last few weeks, and he's been absolutely hilarious covering, you know, Chip's press conference yesterday and into today and kind of rolling out some of his takes, and he's a great follow. If you don't follow him, you certainly should, and it'll be interesting. I'm kind of excited to see how he covers Chip over the next...
And to see Chip, I mean, to breathe life, like you said, into the offense, but also into Colin Kaepernick, you know, as a young quarterback who's got a big contract. I mean, the option wasn't to like get rid of Kaepernick, I think, and totally close the book on everything. I think if there's somebody who can resurrect what he's doing, I think, and looking at what Cam Newton's doing, for example, and looking at what, you know, Kelly did with so many great quarterbacks at Oregon and the offense at Oregon.
Yeah.
I think it'll just be really fascinating. If nothing else, it'll be interesting. I say this about LA sports teams. Better to be interesting and really bad than uninteresting and mediocre.
Yeah.
And so I think it's going to be one or the other, but whatever it's going to be for Chip Kelly in San Francisco, in Santa Clara, it'll be interesting, you know, whichever way it goes. Final thought for tonight, Lucas, Cal Poly at CSUN tonight, and then at Fullerton. What are some things that you're going to be looking for from Joe Calero's team and you know, moving forward here?
You know, kind of the thing we touched on, how are they going to react to sort of the energy in the building? And I think they've been kind of sluggish in the first half of both games, and I look for them to, you know, sort of push the pace, get Brian involved early on, and Josh Martin especially. He's a huge factor there, and maybe get him going a little bit earlier.
Cal Poly women at Mott at 7 tonight. Lucas will be out there.
Yes, sir.
You should go out there, too. It's fun to see those women. For Lucas Clark, Mike Abram, I'm Owen Main. This is the Sports Bite. Have a wonderful Thursday. We'll catch you next time.
This has been The Sports Bite on ESPN Radio 1280 The Ticket. The Sports Bite has been brought to you by Sunset Honda, Chumash Casino, and by Bud Light. Listen to The Sports Bite here on your ticket to the best sports talk lineup in America. ESPN Radio 1280 The Ticket.